We are back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Jesse Wiza. Thank you for joining us. It is 6:34. So what's going on with our crazy weather? Now that we're back to what feels like normal summer weather this week, were those weeks of 100-degree days just an abnormality that's behind us? Or is it the new kind of summer that we should start getting used to in Michigan? To talk about it, I'm joined by Jeff Andresen. He's the MSU professor of geography. He specializes in agricultural meteorology and applied climatology. Jeff, thanks for joining us on WILS this evening.
My pleasure.
Now, you're at a conference in Florida right now. Is it weather related?
It is. It's the annual meeting of all the state climatologists around the U.S., and there are 47 of them, and each year we get together in July, and then this year happens to be in Florida.
So the topic of how incredibly hot it's been must be the primary point of discussion. What is the consensus there as to what's happening here?
Well, you hit it on the head. That and the drought. Drought across much of the central part of the U.S., from the Ohio Valley westward to the Rockies and then up into the Great Lakes, including parts of Michigan. That's one of the major topics of discussion here. And as you mentioned, your question sort of rhetorically, is this something we should be getting used to? I guess the immediate answer is, well, sure hope not. But it is really, I think, important to note that what we have seen this year is extraordinary. We had the fourth mildest winter on record in Michigan. We had an unprecedented heat wave in the middle of March, and that was followed by a mostly normal April, but of course because of the very, very warm weather in March, we lost a lot of tree fruit crop because of the freezes that came. And then beginning in the first week of May, we've trended drier than normal over certainly the southern half of the state of Michigan, and now actually a little bit further than that, and it includes some areas in the far southern part, the Ohio-Indiana border regions, which are more than 6 inches behind
now,
normal in terms of rainfall.
In fact,
beginning in May.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration yesterday released data showing that the first 6 months of 2012 were the warmest on record in Michigan. In fact, temperatures across the U.S. were more than a full degree hotter than the previous record set in 2006. So, Jeff, is this an official sign of global warming?
It's a very, very, well, it's a compelling question, but I think the answer still is we really can't say for sure, because what we're seeing is stranger than sound. We are seeing really weather, and we're seeing some of these very, very unusual patterns. It's because of a strange jet stream pattern, and we can't link that right away with climate change, because that's something that takes place over a much longer period of time. But the caveat, there's a couple of them that are really important. One is that some of what we've observed are consistent with long-term trends, especially the earlier warm-up of the spring. That's something unmistakable in the last few decades in Michigan. And, of course, this was an exclamation point with this March of this year. Secondly, these patterns are consistent with projections of the future. And some of those call for more extremes or higher frequency of extremes, and that's something certainly we have seen. I think we need to be concerned about it, but it's very difficult to physically tie. But
now you say, Jeff, that there's a jet stream pattern that's affecting North America. Then is it that we're specifically affected by this pattern, and this heat wave is not a global phenomenon necessarily?
Well, the world is warming up. Not all of it, but the vast majority of the world, including Michigan and the Great Lakes region, is getting warmer. But there are still areas that actually are getting cooler. And a real good example of this jet stream issue is that during the middle of our heat wave, when we have 80-degree highs in March, it was much colder than normal in parts of Europe, Asia, and even in Alaska. So it depends on which one of the ridges or troughs around the hemisphere that you happen to be under at the time. And it's one of the vagaries. The issue is now with ridging across much of the middle of North America leading to this drought over the last few months is how long will this pattern persist? Because typically the jet stream changes It changes almost continuously.
Are you saying then the jet stream pattern could shift just diametrically, where we may end up with a much colder than expected temperatures for a period of time, while Europe and Asia may heat up in the same
way? Absolutely, that's right. That's absolutely right. And it's just a matter of timing. Now, again, this is consistent with a long-term trend, but there's no reason why we could not shift to another pattern that was wetter than normal. Certainly, we need that in much of the state right now, given what's taken place. And that being said, we don't see any sign of any major pattern changes anytime in the near future. Unfortunately, it still looks warmer and drier than normal here for at least the next 1 or 2 weeks, although I think we will have more chances for precip than has been the case, and we are obviously getting desperate for rainfall, especially in the far southern part of the state.
I'm talking to Jeff Andresen, an MSU professor of geography, specializing in agricultural meteorology and applied climatology. So now, when we talk about a jet stream pattern, though, I mean, doesn't that stay in place for longer? I mean, certainly than a week or two. I mean, could we see these temperatures easily run through August, September, where we get back into 90, 100-degree weather?
It certainly is possible, but statistically, based on the past, it would be very, very low probability for that to happen. Matter of fact, one would have to say that what we have seen for the last 8 weeks in Michigan is also extremely unusual in terms of how often has something like this occurred. And I think you really would have to go back to the Great Drought of 1988 to see a pattern of stable, very, very persistent weather like this. But in most years, the vast majority, we see, again, the major jet stream features change every few days, certainly in less than a week. That's just the way the system works. But this year, it's just wanted to stay in one particular type of configuration or something similar to it, and the result has been heat and drought over much of the interior.
This you're saying very well that this coming winter could be much different than what we saw this past year. We had a much colder winter, and when it comes to the agricultural industry here in Michigan, it's not necessarily that we're now going to see these kinds of the merciless hot temperatures that are going to destroy crops the way they did this year.
No, I think that the odds of seeing a repeat of what we have just certainly experienced would be very, very low, just because of how abnormal it was. We set new all-time records at a couple locations, Lansing included, last week. So that type of weather, fortunately, is very, very, very rare. And even if the climate changes as is projected, we still one would not expect maybe a little bit more frequency, but certainly nothing where we'd see that on a year-to-year basis anytime
soon. What about the fact that we're seeing these records of heat being set, but we're certainly not seeing cold weather temperature records being set, are we?
No, and that's a real good point, and it's another major piece of evidence to suggest that the world is warming up. In the United States, this is a good example. Since the beginning of the year, in January, there have been, I believe this is the January through June period, there were 14,000 new temperature records set on a daily basis across the U.S. And here's the punchline. It's only 2,000 of those 14,000 records were for low temperatures. 12,000 were for high temperatures. So the lesson is, I think, the moral there is, it's that, yes, there are records being set, but they're on the high end of the spectrum. And it's, again, as the average temperature goes up, so do the frequency of these extremes
One last question. The thunderstorms, sure. we see these very powerful, isolated thunderstorms. Thousands of people lost power in Michigan. Of course, many did it across the country. How are they related then to that incredible heat and humidity that we see these kind of very ferocious storms coming through at the same time?
It's a good question. They are linked. And, for those people who are fortunate enough to get some rain and maybe without hail or without the strong winds, they are of the minority, but very, very fortunate to have the water. But it's tied to those extreme high temperatures and high humidities. And Those are the ingredients that lead to instability in the atmosphere and very, very rapid upward motion. And that's what creates thunderstorms. And in the case of when, like what we had, with 100-degree high temperatures and these high humidities, extreme instability and severe thunderstorms. So they were definitely linked.
They don't come in as fronts. They almost pop out of nowhere, and then it's right back to that incredible heat.
That's right. They were too localized, but the intensity of those storms was certainly linked with the abnormal conditions that we had at the time.
You're saying, though, about 30 seconds left, you're saying, though, your prediction is the really intense heat that we've seen, that is not what we're going to be seeing moving into August.
That's right. Although the long lead outlook still suggests warmer than normal mean temperatures, but for anyone looking at the statistics, to say that we would expect to see a repeat of these 100-degree high temps, even some 105s we had in the state of Michigan, which hasn't happened for a couple decades. It's just so unusual that I just don't think we will see warm temperatures again without question. But I'm hoping that the extremes, we won't see anything like those extremes, and ultimately this jet stream pattern will break down or change, and it will lead to something different. Let's hope, though, that it's sometime soon.
Jeff Andresen, MSU Professor of Geography. Jeff, thanks for joining us on WYLS this evening.
You bet. My pleasure.
Coming up next, I'm going to talk to a lead researcher in this study, finding that if you're a parent that's overly involved in your toddler's life, you may end up being depressed over it. You'll find out why. That's next time. Michael Cohen, 1320 WYLS.